Hey there, podcast listeners. This is Justin from Beyond the Uniform. My goal is to give active duty military personnel the tools they need to make a successful transition to civilian life. This week is a great episode for any officer or enlisted considering going to college, grad school, med school, law school, once they depart from the military. I spoke last week with Tim from Service to School, and was really excited to hear about this free resource available to any veteran. It is a no-brainer for anyone in the military to reach out to servicetoschool.org. 100% free. They pair you with a similar veteran with a similar background who's on the other side of the fence and can talk you through the schools to apply to and how to get in. This week, I'm speaking with David Lee, who just went through this process with Service to School. Next year, he'll be going to the Stanford Graduate School of Business, one of the top MBA programs in the world. He was taken through this process with Service to School, and then he actually worked as their director of MBA and other graduate programs for about a year. So he's got great perspective on using Service to School, as well as how he specifically prepared for his business school and other grad school applications. So here's David Lee on Service to School and applying to school after the military. All right, David, thanks so much for joining me. I know you're in the Middle East right now on the midst of deployment, so appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to connect.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks a lot for having me, Justin.
Yeah. So just quick background for you. You graduated from University of Michigan in 2010 with a BA in both political science and history. You did the Navy ROTC program while you were part of the University of Michigan. Out of there, you went to Marine Corps OCS. You actually graduated first of 600 academically, which put you on the commandant's list, and then served in the Marine Corps up until now, so just over 6 years. Concurrently, you spent some time with Service to School, serving as their director of MBA and other graduate programs, and you've been accepted to the Stanford Graduate School of Business, which you'll be attending next September. So we were just talking before the call, but you'll be using the time to do a couple internships, take a little vacation, and then kick off the school year. So excited to in particular, dive into your experience with Service to School, and just because you're just coming from the midst of the whole application process, excited to pick your brain on what that process was like.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to kind of narrow that down somehow?
Yeah. Well, actually, before we get there, I thought, you know, just as you're approaching transitioning out of the military, I wanted to learn more about at what point you realized you were going to make that decision and how you approached that decision.
Yeah. So I personally started considering and, you know, starting to develop my options right around the 2.5 year mark because I wasn't really sure whether I want to stay or get out. And it was just a natural time to start developing some plan Bs. So I consider private industry, staying in government, applying to different schools and continuing the Marine Corps as well. So I kind of ran the gamut and covered all my bases because I wasn't really sure whether I wanted to stay in or get out. You know, to be honest with you, I wasn't really 100% sure what I would do if I did get out. You know, I feel like when you're in the service, you know, the military is this, it's this monolithic thing that takes up your entire field of view. You know, and for a lot of veterans, you know, it's all we ever want to do and something we dedicated our entire adult lives to. But I knew I wanted a job where I could continue to be challenged and continue to grow and be given the opportunity to learn. And ultimately, I made the decision probably around the 3.5 year mark that for me, the military wasn't the best place for that anymore. You know, I learned and grew an astronomical amount, but I felt the opportunities were starting to plateau. And so when the list for shore duties, we call them B billets, but when those came out, I didn't see any growth opportunities that were really exciting to me. But there were some of those opportunities outside the military that I had identified and developed by then, school being one of them. And so that's when I put in my papers.
And what were some of the things you did to gain insight? So you talked about potentially politics and private industry. How did you go about researching what was out there and trying to get a sense if those opportunities would be right for you?
Yeah, so I think a lot of people will kind of tell you that like networking is really important. And I found that very much to be true for me. So I kind of reached out to people who had gone ahead of me. I certainly leveraged the internet, and that's kind of how I ran into service to school. I had friends from college who were, at that point, maybe just graduating law school or whatnot. So I was able to kind of pick their brains, and, I was actually one of the, reasons or one of the ways that I kind of found that law school probably wasn't going to be something in my future, just by being able to talk to some of my friends who had kind of gone before me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I definitely echo your statements around the military being completely immersive and not a lot of visibility to things around that. And I agree that speaking to different people and hearing about their experience can shed some light on, is this a right fit for me or not? And that's definitely one of the intentions behind these interviews, is to give little snapshots of what those lives are like. And as you approach getting out, do you plan on staying in the reserves? And how are you approaching the decision on whether to stay in or not join the reserves?
Yeah, so I do plan on staying in the reserves. And I'm actually in the reserves now. So having said all that about wanting to grow and learn, when I was coming off of active duty, there were still things that I wanted to do and experience in the Marine Corps. And I saw the reserves as a great way to put myself in a holding pattern until those opportunities came around. And I also found that the reserves were really, really flexible. It's much more give and take than active duty. And that was really appealing to me as well.
That's great. And so when you came to decide, so it sounds like you ruled out law school pretty early. How did you approach that decision of whether to go on to grad school or whether to go straight into industry?
Yeah, I'd say for me, school was a means of, one, kind of short-circuiting my way to impact, and two, adding some options value. So first I'd say, I asked myself, could I go straight into industry and kind of hustle my way towards my goals and figure it out along the way? Yeah, sure, absolutely. But, I saw that an MBA kind of allows you to somewhat short circuit that process by means of, one, the network, and two, the signal that it communicates. I really love the military community, but people on the outside, they sometimes have a hard time making out whether you were a true go-getter and a top performer or whether you were just kind of happy to be there. And I think an MBA from a top school helps kind of cut through some of that noise. And I guess secondly, maybe this isn't, the quote unquote right answer, but I also thought an MBA would provide options value down the road, should I find myself in a position where I would possibly want to pivot towards something else.
That's interesting, because a lot of people talk about the difficulty of explaining or translating their military experience to the civilian world. And it sounds like for you that the grad school experience was a way to just kind of shortcut that in terms of saying, like, look, if I got into this program, I was successful in military, and therefore it's a powerful signal to someone after grad school, which makes sense.
Yeah. And so kind of along that note, regarding why I didn't do, a JD or any other degree, ultimately I talked to a lot of friends who did other degree programs, and the consensus seemed to be, for the most part, that an MBA had the greatest impact and ROI. And in my research, I found that to be largely true. And I don't want to talk out of the side of my mouth here, because I applied to non-MBA programs as well, and I absolutely think there's value in it. But I think in terms of the highest, tangible ROI, I think an MBA is hard to beat as a veteran, especially, for someone like me coming from a non-technical background.
That's great. And so I spoke with Tim about service to school. I think it sounds like an incredible program, and I love the way it's set up. And I was excited to dive in to the details of what the process was like for you, starting with when you went through it as someone applying to schools. And I'd love to talk in a little bit too about your experience being involved with the organization itself. But what was that like? So when you reached out to them, how did they help you? And what was the process like that they took you through for applying to schools?
Right. So Services School certainly helped me with the tactical aspects of the application. So, we go by this methodology that we use an acronym for, appropriately, and it's called TRAIN, right? So we help with a test prep, resume, application help, and that includes essays and everything else that comes with it, interview prep, and networking. And so for me, I reached out to the director at the time, and I got paired with John O. He's an HBS grad who really helped me with my application. And it's great to just talk to someone who's kind of been there and done that, and to readily have access to such a large network of mentors. It's kind of like, this informal network within the military has always existed, but it kind of codifies it and it brings it all to one place. But I think what's really valuable about, Service to School is the sense of community that you find with successful veterans looking to help each other during and beyond the transition. And I think that's a pretty special thing.
What were some of the, you know, as John was helping you with your application, what were some of the surprises? Like, I imagine going, like for me as well, going into this, you have certain assumptions about applying to business school. I'm wondering, what were some of the advice he gave you that you might not have come to on your own?
You know, I think probably, you know, I think there are two things that kind of really stick out to me. One is just kind of having someone in your corner, right? And because you just don't really know how you stack up against, you know, the rest of, you know, the applicant population. And to just have someone who's kind of been there, done that, kind of look through, you know, your materials and say, hey, you actually are competitive for XYZ schools. I think that was pretty important for me. And the other thing is he was really able to help with building and translating my resume. And I think that's something that you hit on earlier. And certainly, I think, you know, the more someone does it, you know, they get better at it. But for a lot of veterans, including myself, I had never really touched my resume literally since like high school. So, I mean, there was a huge learning curve there, and he certainly helped with that.
And once you met with him and kind of talked about the potential schools to apply to, how many schools did you end up applying to?
I ended up applying to 4 business schools and one school of government.
And how did you end up choosing Stanford from those?
For me, at the end of the day, I applied to Stanford because I thought it was the best school for social entrepreneurship and tech. And that's really where my interests were. And it was my top choice. So when I did get admitted there, it was kind of an easy decision for me.
Yep. I'm obviously biased on the Stanford front as well. And having just gone through the application process, what advice would you give to those considering going this route in terms of the application, the interview, anything at all?
Yeah, I think single-handedly the biggest help is having a mentor or someone just kind of coach you, you know, through the process. You know, having someone who knows the lay of the land, is willing to walk you through each and every step and give you honest, hard feedback, I think that's supremely valuable. As a military applicant, you just don't know what you don't know. And, you know, there's a lot of good information on blogs, websites, and forums, but, you know, there's also a ton of noise out there. So it helps to have someone in your corner that can keep you motivated, keep you going the right direction, you know, on the 20th draft of your essay, because those applications, they really can drive you pretty crazy. And it's important to have a sounding board you can trust because, you know, I think if you reach out to too many people, it can just, you know, your essay can turn into a real Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. And for military MBA applicants specifically, I'd say, you know, I have a couple pieces of advice on a pretty nitty-gritty level. And first, I just say kind of be authentic, right? Like ask yourself who you are after you take off the uniform. I mean, yes, you're a leader, but what else, right? You know, if someone said that you can't talk about stuff related to leadership, what else would you say? And that's not to say that you can't talk about leadership, you know, but a lot of times applicants focus on it just way too much because they think that's what the admissions committee wants to hear. And frankly, as a military applicant, you've already checked that leadership box and it will probably come across in your resume. And you can talk about it. You can talk about it if you want, but it has to be authentic and it has to be centered around you as an applicant and your story. You know, whatever you touch on regarding leadership should supplement your story, vice you supplementing some idea of, you know, quote unquote leadership, if that makes sense. And then second, I would say just don't rest on your laurels as a veteran. A military background gets your foot in the door, certainly. But for every vet who tries to, you know, over leverage that aspect of their application, there's another veteran out there who has the exact same profile, but work, you know, just a little bit harder on their GMAT or essay or resume or whatever, right? So every ounce of effort counts.
Hmm. And how far out did you start preparing for the application? So you talked about how, let's say, 3.5 years into the military, you knew you were going to make that transition. How long before you actually submitted your application did you start working on them?
Oh, man. I think, you know, I can't tell you the exact time frame off the top of my head because I don't quite remember. But I do think I do remember that the biggest hurdle that I had was the GMAT, right? And really, you know, dedicating, you know, a good 6-7 months of consistent studying to that. And that was, I mean, ideally, you want to knock out your GMAT before the application season even starts. When you're juggling your GMAT and everything else that comes with your application, that can be kind of tough. You really want to have 100% of your focus on your applications once the application season starts. But yeah, I'd say I spent about probably close to a year actually on my GMAT. And then as soon as the applications opened, I spent a lot of time, that entire time preparing my applications. and I submitted the majority of my applications round two.
And for the GMAT prep, any resources come to mind that you would recommend, if like a particular book or class or any advice for preparing for the GMAT?
Yeah, I'd just say personally, I used Manhattan Prep and Manhattan GMAT. It worked great for me. Every person is different, but that's just something that I can personally say worked for me. And Services School, we've got a partnership with them. Manhattan Prep is like super generous. They're great people over there. And they give half off any other test prep offerings to Services School applicants.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And then you talked about, so you knock out the GMAT, you get that out of the way, and then when the application season starts, what did your life look like at that point? Like, how many hours a week were you working on your applications? Did you focus on one, knock it out, and then move on to the next, or were you working on them all in parallel? Just what did that life look like?
Yeah, I was working concurrently on all of them. And the main reason I did that is because I think for me, you know, every time you come back to the essay, you kind of want a fresh set of eyes, right? Or every time you come back to that resume or whatever it is, you want that fresh set of eyes. So for me, working concurrently allowed me to kind of bounce around from, you know, essay to essay, from application to application, and, you know, look at it as many times as possible with those fresh set of eyes. But I would say on average, I probably spent anywhere between 2 to 3 hours a day working on those applications for all those schools.
And I'm wondering so you had talked about standing out from other applicants. And so 3.5 years in, you realize you're probably not going to stay in. Is there anything that you did outside of the military or as like an extracurricular activity or anything like that that you think helped prepare you for business school or for the transition to civilian life?
I haven't been to business school, so I can't speak too authoritatively on that. But, you know, I think most admissions committees are pretty understanding. You know, today's military, we have like a very high op tempo. So when applicants don't necessarily have, you know, a robust, you know, additional section with additional extracurricular activities, I don't think that's a huge ding. Obviously, if there are things that you can do to differentiate yourself, that's great. And of course, everyone has interests. So I think those things are good to